Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
All right, so to review our series, we've been in a series called Oh My Soul. And what we've done is gone, revelation in the sense that the last 2 years have been kind of tough. Kind of an obvious one, right? Is there anybody else with me on that? The last few years have been kind of tough. We had COVID season one, season two, season three. Like, and it's just like one thing after another, after another, after another. And all I've asked for us as a church is for you to be honest about, hey, how's your soul right now? Like, how are you doing? Like, with all the effects and just one thing after another, it's just like urgency and emergency and all these things. Like, it's going to have an effect on the soul. When a prisoner does not act accordingly, where do they put him? Isolation, that's right. Guess where we were for months? Isolation. And we're fooling ourselves if we don't think that it didn't affect our souls. Scientists would say, psychologists would say, 10 days of isolation can have months of effect on your emotional health. Just 10 days. And so with that, with the feeling like the shoe's always going to drop, with all these like different things that are going on, that's what, okay, so then does the Bible speak to, yes, okay, thank you, Pastor, life is horrible, but is there a solution? The answer has been throughout this series, yes. That we have the ability to take the truths of God and preach them to ourselves, to preach them to one another. And so we've looked at how our souls are weary and how our souls need rest and how we can actually say, according to the Bible, it's biblical to talk to yourself. Because in the Psalms, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And so the psalmist is speaking to his own soul going, hey, soul. And then we talked about how just that sense of downcast, like, why are you downcast, oh my soul? And to have courage and face these things, as Pastor Rick preached, pastor on his way, Rick. And then, yes, God. So we have the promises of God by which we can say, yes, God. Like, we hear these promises that you are a son or a daughter of the living King. Doesn't matter what you've done, if you believe your sins are forgiven, you are free, you are my son. And God, almost on the daily, accepts us back like the prodigal son. Like, and then that makes us want to go, yes, God, right? Guys are kind of with me, okay? That makes us want to go, and we're bringing the fist punch back for Jesus. And so, like, and then you can actually preach to yourself. You can take the gospel. And in that moment of despair, when you're alone and having devotions with God, I saw this beautiful moment when one of my sons was really in a struggling spot. And we were talking and having an amazing God, Spirit-led conversation. And I said, why don't you pray and speak the gospel to yourself? By the time he was done, we were both just weeping in tears at the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As he proclaimed the gospel and like water over the soul, cleansed and let the truth of God cleanse his soul. And if that wasn't enough, we even talked about how physical exercise and diet and how holistically those things can still affect the soul. Remember the guy who was drinking 12 Mountain Dew a day and a bag of Doritos? Walked in all depressed. Challenged him to change his diet. 2 weeks later, he was a different guy. And then we were able to address some of those things that are deeper in his soul. Like, it's all of it, and God gives us these tools from his word so that we can have a healthy soul. And if that wasn't enough, every single Sunday, we've drawn it back to the idea of the gospel. The fact that your soul is already cleansed and forgiven and free, that you have a righteousness and a holiness from God that is not your own. It's been declared over you based on the faith that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and it was sufficient. His death was sufficient for you to be forgiven and free, and then rose again on the third day, so that as he has life, he now imparts that life to you based on that belief. He then, the Father then sees you and declares you innocent because he sees you through the blood of Jesus, or the life of Jesus. Righteous, forgiven, free, and with a certain amount of holiness. And so really the challenge of becoming healthy in your own soul is for you to just go, this is who I already am. My mind and my heart needs to catch up to the reality of the already, because I'm not there yet. Like, that's been the entire series, and this last one is called Awake. Now, what I would say is that there's probably a good chance that this message isn't for you, maybe. And if you're watching online, there's a better chance that this message is for you. But really, at the end of the day, this message is for others. And so my hope is, as we walk through, I'm going to challenge you a little bit. Well, probably more than a little bit, I'm going to challenge you. But then I want you to take a similar message to your neighbors, to your friends. And the message of this is, it's time to wake up. We've been in spiritual drowsiness for too long. Like, if you just look at society in general, there's some sort of inability to engage again. Because we've been hurt, because we've been yelled at, because we found ourselves on the wrong side of a political spectrum and lost friends and family because of it. So whether it be all the political polarization, the racial the riots and all the things that took place, and then COVID and all these different things, is it just me, or is just a sense of kind of a drowsiness that's in our society today? Or is it just because we all lost an hour of sleep? Could just be that. I'm feeling it. Anybody else feeling it? Am I the only one? Man. But I think that there is something bigger and a worldview, and the message is, it's time to wake up. So number one, awake to loving others. Now, Romans 13, really the book of Romans is a gospel message and then its implications. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't say that you have a very clear idea of the fall, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that there's none righteous, no, not one. And so there's a very clear understanding of, like, you are dead in your sin. In case you didn't know, you're dead in your sin. But around the middle of Romans 3, it starts talking about this idea of justification through faith in Christ in the gospel. And then you begin to work all the way through the book, and you go in Romans 6, where you have this depth of, like, know and believe and consider the implications of the gospel and what that means for your own soul. And then in Romans 7, you see the struggle. Romans 8, you start to see the victory, that at the end of the day, nothing will separate you from God's love. And then around Romans 10, Romans 11, you start to get this is what the Christian life looks like. So in response to all that you just read about in the gospel of Jesus, now this is what it looks like to live as a Christian. And so we're entering into that moment. Don't take it out of context. That we're entering into that moment. It's like, this is what the Christian life looks like. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Or verse 8, sorry. Chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. And then he goes, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, murder, steal, covet, and all the other commandments. So the 613 laws of the Old Testament and all the New Testament, thousands of New Testament imperatives are summed up in this one word. And we know in context, you know, he's assuming you're going to love God. And then you shall, the end of verse 9, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. I think it's time for us to awake to loving our neighbor again. Just to say very simply, like, the truths of the scriptures never stop being true. You guys know that, right? Like, I can't tell you how many friends that have been in a spot where they have been in a pastoral type ministry and got hurt, or something happened, or there was a scandal involved, or there was something took place in their life. And now, and I think, if we could just get this, there are so many de-churched people out there right now. In fact, Santa Barbara has one of the highest population. Santa Barbara County has one of the highest population of de-church not connected to a church per capita. There are so many, and then after COVID, it only got worse. There's people right now that used to be sitting in these pews that watched with us online and now are just drifting somewhere. And no matter whether it was like you got hurt or whether it was, you know, something took place, financial crash, broken relationships, whatever that spectrum was, I just want to remind you that the things that you believed when things were good with God and life seemed good never stopped being true. And that consistency in the family of God as you gather, that you are the body of Christ, that you are a part of something bigger than yourself. And Paul's argument in that when you are not a part of the body of Christ, the body isn't whole or complete. And he makes the analogy and says kind of almost ironically, can the eye say to the foot, I have no need of you? Those things never stop being true. They never did. And so I don't know what has, what has happened in certain regard. But I want you to just think about right now people that are in that spot that have stopped going to church and stopped hearing the word of God preached over them, but also have forgotten that it's not just about them, that God has given them a particular gift and calling and they're needed within the body of Christ. Who is that for you? You got a name, you got a face. It's time to bring them back. It's time to awaken to this is how we love people. We love people. How do I love our neighbor? By taking care of them, loving on them. At the end of the day, showing them the love of God. That's what it looks like to love our neighbor. That our actions, yes, our actions match up with our words. And so when we speak the gospel of Jesus, there's validity to the things that we say. By all means, serve. Go out of your way. Go the extra mile. When you're offended, forgive. Bear burdens. Be available. All those things that it's called to be loving our neighbor. But then also, I want you to now give them the message. It's time to wake back up. Amen? Like, it's time to wake back up. To reach out and say, hey, come back. It doesn't have to be this church. I'm not saying this to try to get you to go out and fill our pews. I'm saying this because I love people and I feel like this is the message that God has granted me to give to you. Therefore, find some people that have been disconnected, disengaged, and ask them to come back. To come back and be consistent and faithful within the body of Christ. To awake to loving others. Because we all need to awake from spiritual drowsiness. Some of you all are getting drowsy right now. Do I need to speak louder? Okay, now you're back. So welcome back. To awake. To waken up. All right. So one, awake to loving others. Number two, awake from spiritual drowsiness. Look what it says in verse 11. Besides this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So number one, awake to loving others. Number two, awake from spiritual drowsiness. It says here in so many other places, if you do like wake up or wake or awake in scripture and do like, awake scripture, there's going to be a list where the scriptures are continually saying, wake up, hey, wake up. Like that's, I'm not doing that just to get your attention. Well, maybe a little bit, but the Bible conveys that message. It's time to wake up. So then what does that wake up look like? Well, one, it goes back to what I just talked about. The things that are true in Scripture are still true. Awake to those truths. Believe them again. Like when we talked about, yes, God. Struggling with fear and anxiety, find some Scripture in context and memorize and then begin to quote into those Scriptures. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, amen? And when we use the Word of God, whether it be for our own soul and to other people's lives, there is power behind it. Man. This one story about, some of you guys have heard this before, but I'm just going to tell it again. This friend of mine who was struggling with alcohol. And when I say alcoholic, I don't mean a six-pack. This guy was a binge alcoholic. And he would come to near death if someone found him. And he was in a community group that I was in with many, many, many years ago. And I remember one time I was working in the little health food deli. And he came walking in, and he literally looked like death. His face was pale. He had urine all over himself, and clear he had been. And so I left work and went to his house, called some friends. We got doctors over there. But when I walked into his house, there was gallons upon gallons upon gallons upon gallons. Okay, you get my point? Of vodka. He'd been on, as far as we could estimate, at least a 2 to 3 week binger, just drinking this stuff to death. Got a picture of this kind of alcoholic? He comes back to Jesus, comes back to sobriety. And then a few weeks later, walks into this little convenience store, kind of like a Hawaii. It was in Hawaii at this time, and kind of like a Rite Aid Hawaiian style. Okay, you got that picture? And as he walks in, he sees a beautiful pyramid on sale, his favorite vodka in the whole world. Now, he had a choice right there. What's he going to do? And he was so excited to come back to the Bible study and tell us what he did. Out loud, in the middle of the store, he looked at an inanimate pyramid of vodka and says, "You get behind me. I will not partake of you." And then, walks away. Like, do you see that? Like, we have that. We have that ability, whether it be lust and pornography, or whether it be image issues, or whether it be, man, that self-image issue, and you just feel so like, I have no worth. You were bought with a price. You have worth. Man, Jesus loves you. How could you ever say such a thing or ever feel such a thing in light of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so you have that ability to just go, no. What am I going to believe right now? Am I going to enter into that temptation? Because here's the thing. His was alcohol. And that's an outward sin that's obvious. It's like, oh, but yours might be something that's not so obvious. Pride. Everybody does it. Everybody's got a little bit of pride. Yeah, but is it okay? Anger. Anxiety. Fear. Self-deprivation. All these different things that are like, it's like, no, you have the Word of God. And don't forget this. You guys ready? When God said, God first came and began to create on this earth, there was a person that was hovering over the darkened waters. Anybody know who that is? The Holy Spirit. You guys, He dwells in you. The third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, He dwells in you to empower and give you power to be able to overcome temptation and walk as a healthy soul. Praise God. So wake up. Wake up from your spiritual drowsiness. Like we talked about last week, just take a step. Like just step. You guys still with me? All right. So awake to loving others, awake from spiritual drowsiness, and then awake to urgency. Look what it says, continues on to say in verse 11. So besides this, you know the time, the hour has come for us to wake from sleep, okay? So wake up, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Okay, right there. Are we closer to Jesus coming than yesterday? Pretty obvious one, right? But I would say this. With things like what's going on in Ukraine, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. It could be right now. How cool would that be? I don't know how you guys would feel, but I'm preaching right now. Jesus coming back while I'm preaching? Like, man, like, at least y'all are in church, so that's good. So, like, but like that, I mean, Jesus could come back right now. But we don't know. But what I do know is that an urgency to preach the gospel so people can be saved from their sin is something that is a reality. Because we're closer to Jesus than we were yesterday. And so is everybody else. And so an urgency to preach the gospel of Jesus. To be able to take conversations and be able to negotiate them and talk about, like, man, isn't it crazy? Like, the end of the world, are you prepared for that? Like, what if we do go into World War III? What if we do have a nuclear holocaust? Like, those things are real. Like, it's out there. God's in control. He's sovereign. But I think the question is it, are you prepared or is your neighbor prepared? Like, have you talked to them about the gospel? Have you mentioned to them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose again so that they could have eternal life? That you could be saved from your sin? May we not forget that, you see, it's good news. And when there's good news, we have a tendency to proclaim it. You ever seen a newborn dad? A dad with a newborn? Let me say that again. Right? You ever see, like, the face of the groom when the bride first walks down? It's, oh, man, it's good. It's good news. And after a wedding, what do? We celebrate. And we give toasts and we cheer the couple and we don't mind proclaiming. Even the shyest of persons can give a toast because of the good news that just happened. I remember at our wedding, my stepdad gave a speech and he's not a public speaker at all. And it was so funny, but he manned up. He's like, this is my son. I'm going to give a speech. But when he gave the speech, his microphone was down here, and the sound wasn't totally on. And so his speech sounded like this. And then the DJ is just like, hey, can you say that again? He's like, absolutely not. But it didn't matter. He still did it. He still proclaimed. Christian, it's time for us to believe that the gospel of Jesus is one, true, and two good news. And then I don't have to be like, hey, guys, go out and evangelize. Ready, 1, 2, 3, go. Like, no, I don't need to motivate you, pull you like a mule, whip you like a horse, according to Proverbs. Like, go. Like, that's silly, right? Sorry for the analogy. It's in Proverbs. Don't be like the fool. Okay, anyway. Because the good news in and of itself is good news. And by organic emotion and visceral response, we have a tendency to share good news. So let's awaken from our spiritual drowsiness and remember that it's good news that we share. And to awaken to the urgency that people need Jesus. Last point, awaken to the light. Verse 12, the night is gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. You see, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And when we are in Christ, Jesus says stuff like, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine like a city on a hill. Don't hide it under a basket. That makes no point of light. But instead, let your light so shine. This little light of mine. It's that simple. It's that simple. Let your light shine. Why? Want you have light. Because of the grace found in Jesus. Not everybody has light. You do. Share it. The fact that you have light means, hopefully by God's grace, all of us in this room know that Jesus Christ, because of a great love that he had for a people, that he humbled himself and became a man, a baby. God himself became a baby, was raised, ministered as an example, and then went to the cross unjustly and died and took the penalty for your sin. Went to the grave, but did not stay there, because what we're going to celebrate on Easter is that he rose again on the third day, so that as he has life, he now imparts that life to us. That's how we get light. May we shine it. There's no other way. There's no other way to be able to know what that light is, to know what purpose is, to know what being in peace with God is, therefore having peace with others, to love God so that we can love others. There's no other way. There's no other way to be empowered by God's word to be able to proclaim these truths, because for the one that is in darkness does not understand the word of God.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.